broadcasting live from our studio in the AMS Student Nest on the traditional, ancestral, occupied and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
You are listening to All Access Pass. Today is April 27th. I'm looking at the really nice sun through the station window. Definitely want to be outside in a little bit. Hope you guys are enjoying the sun. So today for All Access Pass, we will be listening to some interviews that the Accessibility Collective has been doing with disability justice advocates around the city since the beginning of season two back in October. First, we'll be listening to an interview we aired back in November with Monica Gartner, who's the author of Overcoming the Impossible, which was done by our producer, Emily. After that, you'll be listening to another producer, our other producer, Charisse, who did an interview with Nicholas Creer for Spikes and Bikes. And lastly, we're going to end off, we'll be listening to a readout interview done by our contributor, Trasmia, with the president of the Wheelchair Dance Sports Association of Canada, Olisa Konenko. As well, you're going to listen to some great tunes. You just heard Birthday Bitch's song, Teeth. That was a track off their newest album, 26, released just last month. With that, before we get into it, we're going to play another song. This is Trementia's Fall Over Myself. Hope you guys enjoy.
Thank you. May 5th, Doxa Documentary Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM, along with Discorder Magazine, present Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. Featuring music icons Charlie Patton, Mildred Bailey, Link Wray, Jimi Hendrix, Jesse Ed Davis, Buffy St. Marie, Robbie Robertson, and others, Rumble shows how these talented Native musicians help shape the soundtracks of our lives. That's May 5th at Van City Theater. For more information and showtimes, visit doxafestival.ca.
Okay, before that, you heard Trementia's Fall Over Myself. Trementia is a DIY rock band based in Valdivia, Chile, and consists of three members: Vanessa Sia, who does vocals, Cristobal Ortiz, who does guitar, and Lucas Martinek, who does bass, and Andres on drums. So that's four members. Oops. That song, Fall Over Myself, is off their new album, 810. With that, we're going to listen to an interview that producer Emily did with Monica Gartner. Now, Monica Gartner has founded a nonprofit organization and written a book on inspiration for people with disabilities. She spoke to our producer Emily about securing funding for mobility devices, public safety for those in wheelchairs, and how inaccessible public transportation can be for those in Vancouver. So with that, we're just going to take a listen here.
So my name is Monica Gartner. And my disability is osteogenesis imperfecta. So osteo means bone, genesis meaning genetic, imperfecta meaning not exactly perfect, but then who is? So the bones from the beginning are not perfect. So my bones are fragile and they break easily.
Monica has a full-time government job and so only receives long-term disability for home care. She requires assistance with showering, meal prep, laundry, and other daily tasks around the home. But there's a trade-off for finding full-time employment when you require home care.
There is such a thing called persons with disability funding, but I'm not on that anymore because I found work. Because of that, it becomes problematic sometimes because you're kind of in that gray area. You're not making excessive amounts of money, but at the same time, you're making money, so you don't get as many services as you would when you're unemployed. Because I'm in my own home, I have to pay a service fee, sort of, in order to use the services. And the more money you make, the more you have to pay. And at one point, I was paying over $500 per month for the pleasure of working. Which at some point, some people with disabilities said it's not worth working anymore because half of your savings is going into paying for home care. Yet if you're not working, you don't have to pay for anything. You know, so that just doesn't make sense.
Monica has written to the federal government about home care. She believes that home care should be covered under the Canadian Health Act because it's a service that some people with disabilities cannot live without. Mobility equipment, such as motorized or manual wheelchairs, aren't completely covered for those even with employment. For those with jobs, it can be a constant juggling act of what you can afford that month. Food or wheelchair payment, home care or bus pass.
Now, when it comes to things like mobility equipment, if you make over, I think it is $35,000 a year, you no longer qualify for wheelchair equipment. Most people with disabilities are in low-level entry positions.
Monica's job paid for 80% of her wheelchair, but at $22,000, she was responsible for the remaining $4,400. Luckily, she had enough saved up to pay for the uncovered cost. For many, that isn't a viable option.
Well, if I didn't have enough, I would have to take out a small loan because a wheelchair is necessary. And, you know, I would have to cover it somehow. Put it on my credit card and pay it off slowly. You know, food, shelter is something that we all need to financially be prepared to pay. But for a person with a disability, the added need is your electric wheelchair. And so you have to find the money somehow. If you didn't have that network, you know, $40,000 wheelchair, you'd have to take a loan out. Or you don't work so that you can get it. And I find that's really sad. If the government wants to help people be gainfully employed, then they have to supply the necessary equipment. And I'm fairly certain, although I didn't crunch the numbers, that it is a small price to pay to get somebody out and into society doing something. You have to think of not only physical well-being, but your mental health as well. And it's not good to isolate oneself and not be around other people. So I strongly believe the government should be supplying electric wheelchairs and manual wheelchairs too.
Although Monica can drive and went through an extremely arduous process to get a van fitted for her, many people with disabilities can't drive or can't afford to fund a specialty vehicle. While public transportation can often be taken for granted, it's a very different story for others with disabilities.
Summertime is different than the wintertime because in the summertime it's warmer outside, so I'm not really exposed that much to the elements. In the wintertime, I have pins in my arms and legs, and especially in my arms, pins and metal plates. So in the wintertime, my arms are very cold and become very painful sitting, waiting for a bus or going by using public transit. So that's why I decided to use Handy Dart. Using a taxi is extremely expensive.
Monica regularly uses Handy Dart, Vancouver's arm of public transportation that provides door-to-door ride service for people with disabilities. You have to submit an application to use the services, and that includes personal information about your disability and your doctor's information. You must call their number to book a trip, at least one day in advance, but no more than 7 days out.
Every week I have to call. And you can only call a week in advance. You can't make two bookings if it's not a week in advance. So that's problematic. So I have to, like, on my lunch break, and you can't do it on your lunch break because the phone lines are jammed. So there I am trying to work, and I'm on hold, you know, working away and trying to make a phone call to book my ride for the following week. Every week I've got to do this. It's ridiculous. It's unfortunate that our transportation system has not evolved to the point where it is more flexible. When I was in my 20s, you had to book 5 days in advance. Now it's 7 days in advance. So the system is not working.
Another concern for those in wheelchairs is public safety. Some items, such as lights for her wheelchair, are considered add-ons by her insurance company, so Monica purchased aftermarket lights that were $500 less than the customary safety lights. She says having lights all around her wheelchair is imperative for safety.
A gentleman that I know through the Disability Foundation got hit by a vehicle crossing the street because he wasn't seen. And I myself have been hit in the wheelchair in broad daylight in the summertime. So having lights is an extra little bit of protection. I've almost had a few people in my lap because they're not paying attention. The bright light all of a sudden shocks people's eyes, and that prevents injury from happening, not only to me, but from the person who's not paying attention as well.
Monica not only advocates for herself, but for others with disabilities as well. She started a nonprofit called the Canadian Assisted Travel Society that assists disabled Canadians in paying for a personal care attendant while they're traveling. There are many extra costs for those with disabilities since home care services aren't covered while you're on the road. She also just finished her first book, released earlier this year.
So I wrote a book called Overcoming the Impossible, A Life of Trials and Triumphs. And what it's about is it's about the story of my life and the challenges that I've had over the years from going to school, elementary, high school, being teased, emotionally how it affected me, the big questions in life, how am I going to move out, what am I going to do in a living? And then getting my driver's license. And it took 5.5 years to get my driver's license. I'm really quite hopeful about the future. Yes, life is challenging, but I'm hoping that with my book, people can see that if they have dreams, hopes and dreams, they can still fulfill them, even if you're in a wheelchair or if you've been diagnosed with a challenging disease or disorder. Life is precious, and I don't think we should give up. There's lots that can be done. You may have to do it differently than what you originally thought you would be able to do, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it. So I encourage people to press on.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to All Access Pass. That was just an interview that our producer Emily did with Monica Gartner, who wrote the book Overcoming the Impossible. With that, we're going to head into a bit of a song break now. This next song is called Friend Crush by the band Friends. Enjoy.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
You were just listening to Broken Social Scene song, Halfway Home, and before that, you were listening to Friend's song, Friend Crush. Now, Broken Social Scene, this song, Halfway Home, is the first song that they've released in 7 years from their yet-to-be-titled fifth LP. They're a musical collective centered mainly in Toronto, and at the moment, they have 13 members in their musical collective, which is it's quite a few people. With that, we're going to play another interview. This one is, let me see here, this is done by our producer, Charisse. She did it back in March. She interviewed Nicholas Creer, who is the lead volunteer of Spikes on Bikes. She carried out the interview at the Vandu building in the downtown East Side. Nicholas lives with FAS and talks about his experience with mental illness, addiction, finding community in the downtown East Side. And we aired this interview as a part of our Fun Drive special back in mid-March. But you guys are going to get to hear it again. And with that, I'm just going to get it going here.
Responder team in the downtown East Side. The Spikes on Bikes team has saved lives with naloxone. Nicholas Creer is the lead volunteer with Spikes on Bikes, a needle recovery and first responder team in the downtown East Side. The Spikes on Bikes team has saved lives with naloxone kits by being on the ground as overdoses happen. I sat down with Nick at the Vandu Center to talk about the team and his own experiences living with FASD and addictions. Nick says that each day on the bike is a new challenge to reach those in need.
We'll start out loading up supplies on the bikes. We got a little bag that we carry all those supplies, so that includes clean needles, water and ties, cookers, condoms, a bunch of harm reduction supplies that we carry with us and hand out as needed. We also carry, in a separate bag, we carry the naloxone and extra training materials, so that includes water ampoules, which are just used for training purposes, practice cracking them open and loading the syringe. And then we also carry actual naloxone with us in kits that we give out. And I think it's like over 2,500 kits, I think, since in the last year.
Due to the urgent need in the downtown East Side, the Spikes on Bikes mandate has changed.
Our main mandates are needle recovery and distribution. So we pick up dirty needles and we give out clean needles. OD response. So we look for people that are ODing and check on them. If someone's slumped over, we check on them, make sure they're okay. If they're ODing, we respond to that. We administer first aid and naloxone as necessary. And then direct them, call the ambulance, and the ambulance comes or takes them to the hospital or to the mobile unit we have now downtown here that was set up specifically for ODs.
Nick describes what it's like to use Narcan for the first time.
At first, it was intense. Dealing with the overdose is like the ambulance would call me, the ambulance is on the way and stuff. The first time I Narcan somebody, I completely forgot my training. I was totally flustered. I didn't have a partner or whatever. And we ended up carrying him down the stairs and getting him outside and stuff. And he came out of it and was kind of like, who Narcan me? And he thought I was a bike cop and stuff. and so you learn as you go, right? But now it's like they turn blue so fast and it's so scary. And I'm just glad I know what I'm doing.
Nick also sees how mental health issues are underlying the addictions crisis, especially from living with FASD.
You know, most people have an aversion to the idea of disability, but with FASD, it's absolutely necessary to understand yourself and what's going on there. And because they can get themselves in very serious trouble without knowing it, right? And I know because I've sat in jail, been like, why do I keep doing these stupid mistakes that, you know, that look psychotic to other people? These behaviors sometimes just look like total craziness to other people, whereas in my mind, it was like pretending. It was like a child living in a fantasy world and pretending and stuff. And yeah, it would get me in lots of trouble, and then you'd throw in addictions on top of it. And like, I was lucky I didn't have abuse growing up and whatnot, but that didn't change the fact that the behavior, you know, my brain was not functioning the way it should have been, and nobody knew it, and the behaviors came, and, you know, end up on the street. Like, it wasn't my family's, adoptive family's fault or anybody's fault that things went the way they did, but I would like to know, you know, for future generations, that I did something to encourage bringing things to light.
He considers himself lucky to have found a supportive community.
For me, it took like, you know, a group of people that understood my drug, understood my disability, understood the way the community is, and came together and were willing to not judge and support me whether I was using or not. And that's basically the mindset that's like that's keeping this crisis at bay.
Nick is committed to giving that support back.
It's unprecedented that we would be put in the position of saving lives and whatnot, but I consider it a sacred honor, right? And now that I've started doing it, I won't stop until they say we're not in crisis anymore, I guess, right?
You are listening to All Access Pass. I'm Desi Nair. I'm the Access Collective Coordinator here for the show. You were just listening to an interview that Charisse, our producer, did with Nicholas Creer from Spikes and Bikes. With that, we're going to head into a bit of a song break here. First, we are going to play Shuffle a Dream by Lil Dragon.
Follow the sun. Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar, wheels when you want them.
The F Word Conference is a student-organized event hosted each year by the GRSJ undergrads on the UBC campus on Musqueam Nation land. In its eighth year, the F Word's focus this time is A Year in Review, Activism, Solidarity, and Navigating Oppressions. It's Sunday, April 30th, and will include panel discussions from students and keynote speakers, workshops, networking and community-building opportunities, and a free meal and snacks throughout the day. Join us for a meaningful and thought-provoking day of feminism and social justice advocacy. You can get updates by following the F Word Conference on Facebook and Twitter at GRSJ Undergrads.
Hello, you are listening to All Access Pass. Just before that, you were listening to Majid Jordan's Her. Majid Jordan is a Canadian R&B duo featuring Majid Al-Maskati and Jordan Ullman. The song Her, which you just heard, is off their 2014 album, A Place Like This. Before that, you heard Shuffle a Dream by Little Dragon. And with that, we're actually going to play our last interview for this episode. We did this interview this week. Tasmia and myself, Tasmia, who's a contributor to the Access Collective, Accessibility Collective, interviewed the president of the Wheelchair Dance Association. So take a listen. Hope you guys enjoy.
Hey, so we interviewed the president of the Wheelchair Dance Sports Association of Canada, Olesya Kornienko. It's a federal, not-for-profit organization working to promote wheelchair dance in Canada with a focus on Latin and ballroom dance.
So with that, so we did this over email correspondence. So I will be speaking on behalf of the interviewer, which you did the interview.
Right.
And you'll be speaking Olesya's answers.
Right. I started dancing in Poland and won my first medal in 1999. Later, I won 6 more medals in other countries. My dancing experience in Canada began in September 2012. I'm training with my teacher, participating in ballroom dance events in BC and beyond. Together with my recent dance partners, I won a gold medal and an Inspiration Award at the Rocky Mountain Grand Prix dance competition in Calgary in 2014, and a gold medal at the Vancouver Challenge Cup 2015. I treat dance professionally and as a serious sport. I believe that ballroom dancing negates boundaries between worlds of healthy and disabled people. Collaboration with a healthy partner is not only achievable, but also very rewarding. I can teach wheelchair users by showing them my example of how ballroom dancing can be very beneficial to young people with cerebral palsy and other disabilities. Wheelchair dance sport is a great way of rehabilitation because it involves movements of almost the entire body, promotes gender self-awareness, helps improve memory, and has many other additional benefits. Wheelchair dance sport has been introduced to the non-competitive program of Paralympic Summer Games. My dream is to gather a group of wheelchair dancers to participate in the opening and closing ceremonies of the Paralympic Games, and I really want to promote wheelchair ballroom dance sport in Canada. For this purpose, I registered the Wheelchair Dance Sport Association Canada, WDSACA1.
Okay, so how did it get started?
Wheelchair dancing started in Sweden in 1968, originally for recreation or rehabilitation, with the first competition held in 1975. The first international competition was also held in Sweden in 1977. Several regional and international competitions followed, and the first, I'll just say that sentence again. Several regional and international competitions following Canada will be sanctioning provincial, regional, and Canadian championships. WDSACA will become a part of the International Wheelchair Dance Sport and work on getting wheelchair dance sport recognized as a Paralympic sport and consequently get Canadian wheelchair ballroom and Latin dancers represent Canada in the Paralympics.
Why does your organization aim to have wheelchair dance become a recognized sport in the Olympics?
Because this is the combination of the discipline present in every sport and the dance movements. Since 1998, wheelchair dance sport is governed by the International Paralympic Wheelchair Dance Sport Committee, although it is not part of the Paralympic program. The sport incorporates the rules of the World Dance Sport Federation, or WDSF.
What are some differences, stylistic or otherwise, between having an able-bodied and wheelchair user partnered together versus two wheelchair users as partners?
There are two categories, combi, dancing with an able-bodied standing partner, and duo, dancing for two wheelchair users together. The rules are the same. Athletes are placed into one or of two classes. Level 1 is less efficient wheelchair users, and level 2 is more efficient wheelchair users.
Can you talk about group dance?
The dance groups are formations, dances for 4, 6, or 8 couples.
And single user wheelchair dance, what about that?
There are a single man category and a single woman category. This is the dance of many wheelchair users, same sex and at the same time. Each person has own choreography.
How do you promote your organization?
Wheelchair Dance Sport Association of Canada participates in many dance events for able-bodied dancers and in events for people with disabilities, and we make free dance workshops.
What inspired Wheelchair Dance to host the first ever Miss Wheelchair Canada?
The inspiration for organizing Miss Wheelchair Canada is ballroom dancing. The main part of workshops for Miss Wheelchair Canada is that our candidates will have an opportunity to learn very simple movements of the slow waltz. We think that ballroom dancing is similar to the flight of a butterfly, and we would love to show that women in wheelchairs are beautiful.
Okay, now we're just going to end off our episode to this week's episode of All Access Pass here. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. Just before we end off here, actually, I just want to let you all know that next week's episode, so next week, Thursday, 2 to 3 as always, May 4th, will be a very special one. We'll be re-airing the Disability Justice Panel from UBC's 8th Annual F-Word Conference, which is happening this Sunday on April 30th. Now, the conference is the Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice Institute at UBC's year-end undergraduate showcase. Registration is completely sold out, but luckily, All Access Pass listeners will get an opportunity to hear it here. So tune in next week, 2 to 3 p.m. May 4th, to hear speakers Link St. Marie, who is an Afro-Goth poet, multimedia artist, activist, educator, and educator of the Jamaican diaspora, and Rob Self and Reed Putner from Barrier Free BC. Sorry. All three of them will be coming in and speaking. They have some really cool things to say, and they're doing some really great work. So yeah, definitely worth tuning in next week. And if you can't wait till next week, Thursday, it'll also be broadcasted live through CITR 101.9 FM on Sunday, April 30th from 3:50 to 4:50 p.m. Again, Sunday, April 30th, 3:50 to 4:50 p.m. is the live broadcast, but we're going to be playing it again on All Access Pass next week, Thursday, 2 to 3. Hope you guys enjoy the sun outside and tune in next week. I want to thank the Access Collective team for putting the show together every week. This week we heard interviews done by Emily, our producer, Sharice, our other producer, and Tasmia, our contributor. Thank you guys so much for helping put these interviews together. I think, as always, every week we learn so many cool, amazing things about disability, justice, disability advocacy, and it's with the help of these many members that we're able to provide a platform and have listeners get to hear these voices and the amazing work that advocates and other people are doing towards disability justice. As well, if you like what you heard this hour, as always, go ahead, like us on Facebook, we're All Access Pass. Follow us on Instagram, we're Access_CITR. If you liked what you heard today but you missed a little bit, or you wanted to go back and listen to some of our past shows, you can go to CITR.ca, look up All Access Pass. All of our shows are there for you to download, listen to the podcast. Now we encourage you guys to tune in next week again, very special episode, and to stick around even just a little bit more, because after this, it'll be Astro Talk coming up at 3 here, 3 to 3:30. With that, this is Desi Nair, the Access Collective Coordinator from All Access Pass. I'm going to bid you adieu. I will see you guys all next week. With that, we're going to end off with Sid's new song, Treading Water. Personal favorite of mine at the moment. Hope you guys enjoy.
Trouble now. I done fucked around with your heart. It's a struggle now. Should've never messed with your love, sugar. Now the question is, do I wanna sink or swim? Feels like I'm treading water, waiting on your call, and it's getting harder, trying not to drown. Come on, baby. Ooh, come on, baby. Come back to me. One time for the girls that don't let just anyone. Come on, baby. Come on.
It's all about